We want this evening to turn to Daniel 10, so we'll follow up one verse at a time. Now, we have covered the first 10 verses last session together, but I'm going to read from verse 11 to Daniel 11:1, so we get the text before us. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken these words unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand, and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people, this is Israel, in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face towards the ground, and I became dumb. And behold, one like a similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth, and I spake, and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remain no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me, and said, O man greatly beloved, in Hebrew is Ish Chamudot, fear not, grace be unto thee, be strong, yeah, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened, and I said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then said he, Knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee, and now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia? And when I am going forth, lo, the prince of Grecia will come. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. And there is none that holdeth with me in those things but Michael, your prince. Chapter 11, verse 1. Also, I in the first year of Darius the Medes, even I stood to confirm and to strengthen him. And I'm going to stop here with this verse. Chapter 10, verse 1 to chapter 11 and verse 1. Just by way of reminder, chapter 10, 11 and 12 of the prophet Daniel really is ought to be read together, because together those three chapters compose really one unit in the book of Daniel. But chapter 10, verse 1 to chapter 11, verse 1, these particular verses gives us an introduction to the totality of the final vision, or the last vision that Daniel is receiving here in this book. And this particular vision, which is contained in chapter 10, 11, and 12, really deals with the future of the people of Israel. But it takes that vision takes us not only to the time of Israel's restoration from Babylon, which was already done as far as the time that Daniel is writing, but it takes us all the way up till the end of the tribulation period. And so chapter 11 and 12 are very important chapters which we need to study carefully so we can gain some help as we are looking into these chapters. But chapter 10, in which we read last session and this session, really gives us the introduction to this final vision. Now, really, we have tagged this particular chapter, the introduction to the prophecy, the introduction to the final prophecy of Daniel. And this is really, it's like a history, looking at certain things that happen in the history and telling us of how Daniel received that final vision. Now, we have already covered the first 10 verses. And in the first 10 verses, first of all, we said the background, or when did Daniel receive the vision? When Daniel received the vision, it was about 536, 535 BC. The people of Israel, or I should say, some of the Jewish people have already returned to the promised land, about 2 years prior. So when Daniel received his final vision, there are certain Jewish people that have already gone back, have already gone to the if you will, the promised land, the land of Canaan, after 70 years of being in captivity by the Babylonian. And so when he's receiving that vision, the time was the time about 535, 536 BC. And if you remember what I said, that in the first three verses, Daniel find himself mourning, weeping, crying. And of course, immediately, as we have said last time, last session, why was Daniel weeping? Why was he weeping? Well, remember, it says here in verse 1, in the 3rd year of Cyrus, king of Persia. But in Ezra chapter 1, it was in the 1st year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the Jewish people received, or he received instruction from God to give room for the Jewish people to return, to be restored to the promised land. Well, here's the 3rd year. Things have happened. Only 50,000 Jewish people went back to the promised land, to Israel. The rest of the Jewish people were satisfied to remain in Babylon. That was enough to cause Daniel a lot of grief. Why? Finally, the 70 years have ended. We can be restored. Our people can be restored to the land. The rest of the Jewish people are satisfied to live in the diaspora. That's number one. Number two, that we have said, that when they have arrived to the land, and they were beginning to rebuild the temple and so on, they had so much opposition by the Samaritans, that we know them today, as we call them Samaritans, by the foreigners that have come all the way from Assyria, came back and been placed in the northern of Israel. They began to tell to the Jewish people who returned from Babylon, we are going to work with you together. We're going to help you. And they had so much problems because of these particular people who claimed that they want to help, but in actuality, they were nothing but troublemakers. You know, let me just tell you for a moment, I have these problems existing today in a local church setting, where there are people who are coming to church meetings that have no interest to build. They have no interest to help the things of God to go forward. But what they want is really, and I'm amazed. You know what? I said this to some of my classes. If you don't have a desire to build, you're better off. Don't put your hand into anything. Because if you intend to only make trouble, God will have to deal with you one way or another. I don't envy a person that is attending church meetings and doesn't have an honest desire in his heart to be a builder. I tell you, it is so sad to see it. And it's happened in the Church of Jesus Christ, just the same like it happened in the among the people of Israel when they were restored, going back to the promised land and beginning to build the temple and so on. I just don't understand why people would want even to be involved in so-called congregational setting or church setting if they don't have any desire in their heart to be a builder? Why? Why? If a person does not want to get involved and be a helpful, if you want to put a foot or to cause people to stumble, what's the point? Why? There is no reason to do that. Unless somehow the influence is not from God, it's from the flesh, and it's from Satan, and it's from the world. That's what it is. And that was happening. Daniel saw, and we read Ezra chapter 4, and we read that last time, if you remember, we saw how they wanted to help them, so-called, but in actuality, they were not helpers. They were not helpers at all. In fact, the third reason that why Daniel perhaps was crying and weeping, it says here, in those days I, Daniel, was mourning for 3 full weeks. Why? You know why? Because perhaps the third reason is the temple, the building of the temple ceased, stopped. It stopped, and Daniel was so grieved when he heard about the rumors there. You know, it reminds me a little bit of the Apostle Paul. When Apostle Paul received information about certain local assemblies or local churches, that there was troubles there in Galatia, in Corinth. You remember he received about the Galatians, the legalists that came in. In Corinthian, the looseness that were among the people of God. And so Paul was grieved. And I believe there is a parallel here to see Daniel is grieving and he's weeping and he's mourning for a whole 3 weeks. And it says here in those verses, it says, no pleasant bread, neither came any flesh or no wine to my mouth, he didn't anoint himself at all until the end of the 3 weeks. Why? Because he was so concerned with the condition of the people of Israel, of his own brethren. And you know, I tell you, that is something that I believe is lacking so much in our lives. The little bit concern that we have for the people of God and for the things of God. We have such little concern for the things of God. You know, if we would weep more, if we will be more concerned with the condition of God's people, God will honor it a lot more than if we will try to straighten up every matter. God wants his people to have so much concern for his people and for the things of God that we will have an attitude like Daniel or an attitude like the Apostle Paul. And so this is just a parallel that I want you to see that. And so that's what that was the occasion, that was the state, that was, if you will, the time in which Daniel received all of a sudden some special instruction and special help and a special vision from that particular individual. And so we have covered those three verses. The next verses, verses 4, 5, and 6, there was a man that came, and you remember that man that came, we know he was an angel. It was a unique angel that came to give instruction to Daniel. It says here, in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which was Hiddekel, I lifted up mine eyes, and I looked, and behold, a certain man clothed, and we see here in verses 5 and 6, certain things. He was dressing in a special way, and the appearance of this man was a unique appearance, and we can see that this person was a unique messenger of God, that God sent him to give instruction to Daniel. Well, notice in verses 7 to 10, there was a reaction. When Daniel saw that man, he reacted. The people that were with him, first of all, notice in verse 7, I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. For the men, M-E-N, the people that were with me, saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled and hid themselves. They end up hiding themselves. In other words, the word here, charada, charada gdola, means a great quake. The quaking here that fell upon them in Ibu charada gdola, it's a great fear. fell upon them. They went away, they hid themselves. Verse 8, I was left alone, and I saw the great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. There was no strength left in Daniel. And then we find out what happened to him. When I heard the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, it says here, then I fell, if you will, I was in a deep sleep on my face, and my face was towards the ground. That's the last point I think that we have mentioned, the deep sleep that we have been speaking about. And the Hebrew nirdam or tardema simply means a supernatural sleep, that God in a sense like almost caused him to fall asleep, almost like it's not death. But the sleep is so strong that it's only the waking up. It's only done by a supernatural way where God himself would wake one up. It happened in Genesis to Adam. It happened in Genesis to Abraham. It happened to Saul in the book of Samuel. And we talked about it last time. And now I want to continue from verse 11 on. By the way, verse 10 says, and behold, the hand touched me. And he set me upon my knees and upon my palms, all of my hands. In other words, the man touched him, and in a sense he lifted him up, and he was remaining upon his, as it says here in verse 10, upon his knees and upon his palms. He was almost like in a position, like a bowing on his knees, if you will. His palms and his knees were touching the ground. That's the position that he was at when the man touched him. Now, we're moving on now. Let's move on to the next verses. In verses 11 to 14, we hear the message that this angel or this man was giving to Daniel. First of all, in verse 11, we see the reason for the hand that touched him. Why did he touch him? When Daniel was in verse 9 in a deep sleep, he touched him. The reason for the touching is because he wanted to give Daniel to understand what he was about to tell him. It says in verse 11, and he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved. Now just pause here for a moment. You know the word, the expression, greatly beloved. In Hebrew, ish chamudot. Chamud is an expression that you would say to someone who is a sweet person. You know, sometimes a husband will say to his wife, sweetheart. It's a very same expression. You know, I'm thinking about the English says greatly beloved. I think of an expression that our pastor John often used in the gospel, that he was the apostle whom Jesus loved. The apostle whom Jesus loved. And you can see the kind of a man he was, that God honored Daniel. This man saw something special about Daniel because he was a man that had a concern for the things of God. He was a man that had a concern for the people of God. And so he's touching him, and he said to him, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved. He said to him, you understand the word that I speak unto you, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken these words unto me, I stood trembling. You see, the reason he's saying, this particular man, this angel, he said, you know, the reason that I was sent to that you will understand certain events that are going to happen to your people, Daniel. So what does he do? What's happened here? When he told him that, when he had spoken to him, he stood trembling. He's still trembling at that sight of that special man that came to give him this instruction. And then, verse 12, the angels say that he was sent. Notice when this angel said that he was sent from. He was sent to give Daniel an answer to his prayer already when Daniel began to pray 3 weeks prior, 21 days prior. Notice it says here in verse 12, Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand, and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. Now, you know, I don't know about you, but in my prayer life, many times there are certain things that I really desire that the Lord will help and answer with, and it seems like that the time is passing and there is no answer. And sometimes one is wondering, he said, well, didn't God hear what I have had on my heart to tell him? Didn't he hear my words? And it's, for all of us, it's the same thing. Sometimes we feel like I'm praying, and the answer do not come exactly when I need it. It doesn't seem like it comes. How long time am I going to wait? Mm-hmm. Well, apparently, we learn here a very important lesson, that whether God gives us the answer immediately or not, from the first time that we are crying to the Lord about anything, God hears already in the beginning when we say something, or even if we don't say, even if we think about something in our heart and we're in a silent praying to the Lord, God already heard it. God already knows that, even though it seemed like it didn't rise above the ceiling. It seemed like it didn't go up enough. Is God hearing my prayer? That is how sometimes we do feel. Well, according to this verse 12, Daniel's words came up before the Lord already from the first time that Daniel began to seek to know the mind of God about the future of his people, the people of Israel. For he says to him, Fear not, Daniel, for from, notice the word from, the first day, by the way, if you go back to verse 2 for a minute, in those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. Verse 3, I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all until 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Then we have in our verse 12, where it says, For from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. You know, this is very comforting for us. It's very comforting for us because even though at times we feel like God does not answer immediately, or he doesn't seem like he's hearing my prayer, the words of the believer are definitely being heard by God. And God, in his timing, he's going to give us an answer. I know it's easily said, words like that, and you know, when you are in trouble and you really need the help of the Lord, and you say, wow, oh, I need you now, God, and the answer doesn't seem to come, it is a real comfort to know that he does heal, and he's going to come up with the answer. He either can say yes, or he can say no, we don't like that, or he can say wait. And for us, we like yes, right? Who likes no? And who likes wait? Wait, you know. Sometimes you see on a desk of a secretary, God, I want patient and I want it now. Well, you know what the verse tells us in Romans, tribulation worketh patience. You want patience? Well, God is going to get to take us through a lesson of tribulation, of trials. And that's the way God is. We will work in the life of his people. But here is a man that had a concern for his people, and God is giving him the answer. But the answer did not arrive at the time that he wanted. It arrived later. But now we are going to find out why did the answer did not arrive immediately on the first day when Daniel prayed. In fact, Daniel could have had the answer on the first day, but there is something that we learn here from this verse, the next verse, is that there is a New Testament lesson as well for us from verse 13. Notice what it says in the next verse. In verse 13, we learn the reason for the delay. Look at the reason for the delay. Verse 13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me, this man, this angel saying, 21 days. 21 days. This is 3 full weeks. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. And I remained there with the king of Persia. Now, you know, this is a very interesting verse. Actually, verse 13 is very interesting in this particular chapter. Why? Is because that man, apparently, is an angel. An angel that God was sending to give the instruction to Daniel about the future days of Daniel's people. Daniel's people is Israel. But apparently, this is something that Daniel does not see, just like you and I do not see. In the heavenly realm, there are warfares that are going on between the, what we would call it, the good angels, or the angels that serve God, and the evil angels, the fallen angels, the one that fell with Satan, what we call them today demons. This is fallen angels. And so what happened, that particular angel, this particular man, as we have the appearance of him here, is an angel, coming, was sent by God to give an answer to Daniel, but already when he was intending to come, it says here that the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me for 21 days. The prince of the kingdom of Persia. What does that mean? That he is a prince, a fallen angel, that had been assigned by Satan to, if you will, to hinder anything that has to do with the work of God in Persia. In other words, he was an angel that had been assigned by the devil, by Satan, in order to do anything to do with the nation or with the people of Persia. Well, he was hindered for 21 days. Now, if you notice, by the way, it says here, the prince of the kingdom of Persia, it was at that time. Why is the prince of the kingdom of Persia? Because at that time, Cyrus, verse 1, the king of Persia, this is the 3rd year of his reign, this is verse 1. In Ezra chapter 1, he was in his 1st year. And the assignment that this particular fallen angel, the prince of the kingdom of Persia, he received an assignment, if you will, to stop God's work among his people Israel. In that particular realm, the realm of the kingdom of Persia. Now, if you would just want to see the interesting thing about the fallen angels, I want to read you a couple of verses. Turn to Revelation, please. Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. In Revelation chapter 12, we are in the middle of the tribulation. In Revelation chapter 12, we read of the fact that 1/3 of all the angels had fallen with Satan and it followed after him. Notice, let me read just a couple of verses there. I'm going to read a few verses earlier in chapter 12. What we see in chapter 12, the woman in verses 1 and 2, which is none else but the nation of Israel. Then verses 3 and 4, we see there appeared another wonder in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And listen, and his tail drew the 3rd part of the stars of heaven. This is an expression that tells us that this dragon here, in verse the red dragon in verse 3, is none else but Satan. We're going to find out in a few more verses down there. But it says here that he, with his tail, it says here, he drew one third. Having 7,000, and then verse 4 says, with his tail, this is verse 4, he drew one third of the stars of heaven. This is not the literal stars. This is the stars that we often find in the book of Job. It has to do with angelic beings. One third. In other words, can you imagine? Every third angel is a fallen angel. And as it says in verse 4, and his tails drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman. This is Satan before the woman. This is Israel, which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. In other words, Satan desiring to stop the woman speaking Israel, about Israel, and ultimately about the entrance of the Messiah into this world, and ultimately really desiring to completely frustrate the plan of God. Well, if you go now down, it says in verse 7, we're going to read now verses 7 to 9. And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. In other words, you can see that the dragon, namely Satan, we're going to get this a little bit in the next verses, he also have an angels and followers, those that follow him. Verse 8 says, and he prevailed not, neither was the place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. And he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now, mind you, beloved, this still takes us into the middle of the tribulation. He's not yet have been cast down to earth. Oh no, he's still in the heavenly realm, if you will. He's not near to God like God's angels and God's servants, but he's in the spiritual realm. And he's in a sense, what he's trying to do and what he does is constantly there is what you call the spiritual warfare in the heavenly places that exist. And that's what we find out. That is exactly what is happening here in Daniel chapter 10 and verse 13. That man that was seeking to come to give Daniel an answer, he was stopped. Perhaps by a more powerful angel, fallen angel than him. That's why he could not continue, and he needed a help from another. Now, go back for a minute to Daniel. One more time, Daniel. We're going to go to another passage in the New Testament. But one more time, Daniel 10 and verse 13. Daniel 10 and verse 13 says that, and I'm repeating that again. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But listen to what happened next. Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the king of Persia. In other words, 21 days, this particular man, this particular angel, remained there with the king of Persia in the heavenly realms, until Michael the angel came to help him. And once Michael the angel helped him, and he succeeded to stop the holding of that particular servant, that particular angel, he could come down to give Daniel the answer, while Michael dealt with that particular angel. Now, what's the lesson? Now, I want us to see a couple of verses that I marked for myself. Turn to the book of Ephesians now in the New Testament. One thing for sure, we discover as believers that once we came to faith in the Messiah, in the Lord Yeshua, the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, we find ourselves that there are still warfare that we have to deal with. Now, we are forgiven. We have been cleansed. We have been washed. God has forgiven our sins. But for some reason, we find out that in the spiritual growth and progress, we have challenges to face. And we have enemies. And we talked about it before, the three enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And what the Apostle Paul is doing here in Ephesians chapter 6, he is encouraging the believers to put upon them, this is you and I as well, the armor of God. Now, why you need an armor? You know, I'm sure some of you have been in the military, in the army. Well, we need armor because armor is that which protects us and that which enables us to fight the fight. Well, we need to put on an armor in order that we might be able to move forward in winning victory after victory, practical victory day by day. And so, we find out that we are exhorted here. And let me read those verses. They are very interesting verses. And I think they are very much connected with Daniel chapter 10. Ephesians 6 verse 10. Listen to those verses. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to withstand or to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And then it gives you verse 14 on, up to verse 18. Stand therefore, and it gives you and me the armor of God that we are to put on. But you notice that this armor of God that he has given us is really given to us in order to be able to withstand or to stand against the wiles of the devil. And there is a warfare that existing. You see, the believer want to please the Lord. The new man want to please the Lord. One of the enemies that we have is the old nature. The old nature says, well, I want to do my thing. The new man said, I want to do God's things. And there's a constant, we read it in Galatians, there's a constant, the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. But that's one enemy that we have. But we also have the devil as our enemy. And so he's telling the Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 6, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, for we wrestle not. Now, I often think, when I'm fighting about either I'm going to walk with the Lord, I'm going to do something for God, or either I'm not going to do something for God, I always think about it always when it's come to myself, to the flesh, the old nature and the new nature. But here we find that there is a wrestling. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, not against flesh and blood, but against, as it says here in verse 12, against principalities, against powers, against rulers. Now, when you think about rulers, immediately you think about what we have been just reading in Daniel chapter 10, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high or heavenly places. And so you know what's happening right now, beloved? I can just imagine, even this evening as we are studying here the Word of God, and maybe others could have been with us enjoying to be here, or maybe you feel like me sometimes tired and don't feel like coming to the meeting, then you say, what's the use? And sometimes, really, it is true that there is not only that we have the weakness in the flesh, but there is this is the heavenly rulers, if you will, the principalities, the spiritual wickedness which are in high places, in a spiritual realm, seeking to stop our spiritual progress, telling us, you know, telling us to, in other words, to feed on something else, to walk in a different way, not to follow the Lord, not to grow spiritually, attacking the people of God. And the devil is very, very smart. He's attacking the people of God exactly in the weakest part that we have. And therefore, he's telling us, take upon you, or take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in evil days, in this evil day. And the devil, the wiles of the devil, he is so clever. He's a like we read in scripture of him, he's a liar from the beginning. He's a murderer. He's desiring to stop any spiritual progress among the people of God. And in many ways, many times, he does succeed. And so, of course, he cannot take us away from our relationship, from our eternal relationship with God, but he definitely can harm our spiritual progress and keep us sad and far away from God. And he's shooting those darts. And he knows your weakness, and he knows mine. And he shoots those darts, and he kept those darts exactly hitting where there is a weakest part in our life. And that's how he succeeds. And that's why the Apostle Paul said to the Ephesians, you know, that they are to realize that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And so when Daniel was for 21 days longing to receive an answer from God, the answer was on its way. But it stalled there for 21 days. Why? Because the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood that particular angel as he was on his way. And as he withstood, Daniel did not receive his answer. And if Daniel was not a spiritual man, he probably, if he was sometime like what we are, he probably could say, God really doesn't care, and God really doesn't answer prayer, and therefore I'll go and do my thing. There's no use to just pray and talk to God, just like sometimes we say, because we get discouraged because of various things, various reasons that creep in into our life. Daniel stood for 25 days, was faithful to pray and to confess the need of the people of Israel, to mourn on their behalf, and finally the answer came. And when the answer came, now Daniel could receive the instruction from this particular man about the future of Israel. So, moving down to verse 14, the purpose of the coming of the angel. I'm now back in Daniel 10, verse 14. In verse 14, he's saying, now I am come to make you understand what shall befall thy people. Notice the word thy people. Thy people, that's not the church. That's Israel. That's Daniel's people. In fact, the church here in the book of Daniel is not seen, really. We're dealing with the people of Israel and the future that he has for the people of Israel. And so he's saying, what shall befall thy people in the latter days? For yet the vision is for many days. It will take long time, long, long time, Daniel, until the fulfillment of that particular vision that I'm about to give you. It will take long, long time. Now, before we continue from verse 15, if you just, you've been in Ephesians, I want you to just read Ephesians 3. I marked myself another verse. Ephesians 3, in verse 10, using that as expression, principalities and powers in heavenly places. When we talk about principalities and powers in heavenly realms, it has to do with the angelic beings, with the heavenly realm. Notice Paul is saying this time in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 10, Paul speaking about that mystery which was hid in God, in verse 9, the mystery, this is the church, which is a composition of Jew and Gentile together, united, the heavenly company. This was a mystery which was hid in God. That's what it says, verse 9. God who created all things by Jesus the Messiah. Then it says in verse 10, to the intent that now, this is in the present time in which we lived, in the church age, unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. You know, here's another thing. We learn about, you know, we're talking about the heavenly places. We're talking about the principalities, the powers in heavenly places. You know that in this present day, in the church age, the wisdom of God in uniting both Jewish people and non-Jewish people in the body of Christ, the body of Messiah, and in this unique company, heavenly company, that the Lord in a heavenly relationship with the Lord Jesus, the church, as it says here in verse 10, God have intended that the wisdom of God might be manifested to the principalities, powers in heavenly places might be known by the church. In other words, when the angels looking down upon the church, and again I'm saying the church is not the bricks and the walls and the cement, the church is the people of God. When they want to see the wisdom of God, when they want to see the plan of God, they got to look down. And where do they see it? They see it among the people of God, in the church. When they look at the believers and they see how God had brought about a body out of every people, tongues, and nation united together, even though many times in practice we fail. But in position, he had worked it out. Yet when they look down and they see the people of God in harmony, what a lesson they learned about the manifold wisdom of God. Now one more last verse here in New Testament, First Peter chapter 3. First Peter chapter 3 and verse 22. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 22, talking about the sufferings and rewards in a prior verses, preceding verses. Notice what it says in verse 22. Who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. When the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, gone to heaven and is on the right hand of the majesty on high, on the right hand of God. Now notice what happened. As the exalted man in heaven, angels, authorities, powers have been made subject unto him. And so we can see here angels talking about the as men now, the angels are subject unto the person of the Lord Jesus, the Messiah. Powers, as it says in Peter as well, and thirdly it says here authorities. Now mind you, every authority, even in this world, is ought to be and will be subject unto him. But what I wanted to say, to show you that there is, the fallen angels are not subjecting themselves to him. They will, but eventually they will. But now, angels, powers, authorities in heavenly places are subject unto him. Now, as we continue in Daniel chapter 10, the final verses 15 to 19, how does Daniel react when he received this information from this man? The man tell him, Daniel, from the first day that thou hast set thy heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard. And I came for thy words to give you an answer. But something happened. The prince of the kingdom, I'm reading verse 12 and 13, the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me for 21 days, but lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came helping me, and I remained there with the king of Persia, and now I come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. For yet the vision is for many days. And so in verse 15, Daniel's reaction. Notice, and when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face towards the ground, and I became dumb. You know, Daniel, again, he's falling on his face. Now, you know, you look at him and you say, Daniel, what's going on with you? You're falling, you're getting up, you're falling, you're getting up. I don't know what you're going to do if you're going to see such a man like this. I can tell you, you and I will fall and might stay a lot longer than Daniel on our face to the ground. Well, Daniel, again, look at the reaction that he had. He fall on his face again. And he's kind of, it's an awesome sight that he sees, something unique. So he, again, he set his face towards the ground and he became dumb, couldn't speak. Verse 16, the angels touch. Again, he touching. It says in verse 16, and behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touch my lips. Then I opened my mouth and I spake. And he said unto me, and I said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned unto me, and I have retained no strength. Now some people, because of the expression here, my Lord, they take it to mean that that is more than just an angel. That must be the Son of God, the Messiah. But I want just to mention, it is interesting, the Hebrew word here in verse 16 and also 17 is not Adonai, but it's Adoni. The Hebrew word Adoni simply means sir. If it would have been Adonai, this is another word for God. But here the expression is sir. And so when he says, oh my Lord, it's not the capital L, it is my Lord in a sense of Adoni, not Adonai. When I would walk on the streets in Jerusalem, in Israel, and I will say, I will want to ask a certain gentleman, excuse me, sir, what is the time? I will say, Slachli Adoni. Mahasha'a, what is the time? I will not say to him Adonai, because Adonai is a reference to God. Adoni is a reference to man, or a certain individual. Adoni, A-D-O-N-I. Or to make it E, like the sound, or double E, Adoni. So it's double E, but it's really Adoni, A-D-O-N-I. And so we see here that he was saying to the, after he touched his lips, then he could speak. And now he's speaking to this particular person, to this angel. Verse 17, the confession, there was no strength in that. He's confessing. In verse 17 he says, for how can thy servant of my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straight away there remaineth no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. So is Daniel saying, you know what, sir, I simply did not have any strength in myself when you have arrived and you have spoken to me. And remember, this is an angelic being, this is a unique servant of God coming to tell Daniel some future event of the people of Israel. If that particular angel would really be the Lord Jesus in his pre-incarnate, why would he need the help of Michael in verse 13? The Lord Jesus, as the eternal Son of God, does not need anybody's help. Every angel served him. But this particular angel was withstood for 21 days by a fallen angel, which make it necessary for Michael to come to help him so he could go and give the answer to Daniel. Verse 18, again, the touch of the angel with this give Daniel strength. Verse 18, then there came again, he came again, and he touched one like the appearance of the Son of Man, and he strengthened me. You notice this touching and touching and touching? It reminds me again when the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, was transfigured in Matthew 17 and in Luke. Remember, they fell like dead, and they heard the voice of the Father saying, "This is my beloved Son," and then He touched them. That touch is just showed the care and the love of God. And also earlier in verse 16, he touched his lips. And the touching of the lips, in other words, it was the servant of God, his angel, were giving, touching Daniel's lip, giving him an authority to speak, and also giving him an ability to speak. You remember what Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 6, when he saw the glory of the Lord, and he saw the glory of the Lord, and he says, "Woe is me! For I am a man with unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people with unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King." Then he took the coal from the altar, and he touched his lips. And then Isaiah could speak for God. Well, here we see Daniel, the same thing here. He touched my lips, and I opened my mouth. Verse 16. In verse 17, he confessed that there was no strength in him. In verse 18, he touched him again, and he gave him the strength. And in verse 19, Daniel was strengthened, and now he can hear what the angel have to tell him about the future of the people of Israel. It says here in verse 19, and he said, "O men greatly beloved, fear not. Peace, shalom be unto thee. Be strong, yea, be strong." And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, "Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me." See, Daniel now can receive that vision. He can receive that vision. He can hear this man with what he has to tell him about the future events of the nation of Israel. And then notice the final verses. In verse 20 and 21, the first of all, here's the message that this man is saying to him. In verse 20, he asked Daniel, "Do you understand what I'm telling you?" Then said he, "Knowest thou wherefore I come to thee? Do you know why I came to you? And now I will return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the king of Gershia will come." You see now what he's saying? Say, "Daniel, you see why I came? I came to tell you the vision. But now when I'm going to finish to tell you the vision, I'm going to go back. And when I'm going to go back, I'm going to fight again with the prince of Persia. There is a warfare in the heavenly realm. And when I'm going to finish with the prince of Persia, now the prince of Greece will come." You remember in the order of the kingdom that we have in the image? Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece. Well, you can notice that. You know, every kingdom would have an assigned fallen angel. And just the same, like there will be an assigned good angel to serve and to be a blessing to the people, there will be also a fallen angel. So when you're going to finish with this, the prince of Persia will come. And now notice that quickly. Verse 21, Michael will be there, the helper, in that particular fight. In verse 21, "And I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth." I'm going to show you what is noted in the scripture of truth. "And there is none that holdeth with me," in verse 21, "holdeth or upholds me against." There is no one that upholds me against or uphold me in those things but Michael, your prince. See, Michael is the prince that had been assigned for the nation of Israel. You notice that there is a prince of Persia. You notice in verse 20, there is a prince of Greece. You notice in verse 21, there is Israel's prince, which is Michael himself. And now notice what we read in the last verse for today, verse 1 of chapter 11. Also, the angel continued, this man continued to speak. Also, I, this is that man, this is that angel that speak to Daniel, I, in the first year of Darius, the Mede, even I stood to confirm and to strengthen him. And the him here is Michael. So what is he saying? You see, Daniel, I'm going to come to tell you now about the future events, the things that concerning your people, Daniel. But when I'm going to finish to tell you, I'm going to go back. I'm going to have a warfare with the prince of Persia, the falling angel. Then with the prince of Greece. And I want you to know that the only one that is helping me, that is upholding me, is Michael, the prince of Israel. But I want you to know, Daniel, chapter 11, verse 1, that I also, in the time, in the first year of Darius the Mede, I stood to assist, to confirm, and to strengthen Michael in the time when Darius was first king, Darius the Mede. In the first year, I have helped Michael. And so, what we find out really in this introduction, chapter 10, verse 1 to chapter 11, verse 1, is that all the prelude, all the events that happen before Daniel received that particular message, vision, which is going to be now next in chapter 11, verse 2, into chapter 12. And about verse 4, and then there will be the final conclusion of the book of Daniel.